You're listening to Life of Revival Radio with Pastor Zachary Weber.
Well, it's good to have our good friend all the way from not Ohio. All the way from not Ohio. I know you moved. I keep forgetting where you moved from.
I live in a town called Fuquay Varina, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Vincent, it's good to have you. If you'd like to introduce yourself, let people know about your ministry who maybe aren't familiar.
Okay. Obviously, I'm Vincent Skinner. I've been doing the ministry now for 34 years. I've traveled to around 40 nations, holding, revivals, gospel outreaches, conferences, all kinds of things in different nations. And that's what we do. You know, this year we'll be going to Guatemala, Colombia, Europe 3 times in multiple city tours, plus Australia, and wow. And then eventually down to Brazil as well in the month of March, April. So,
wow.
So
you get a packed schedule this year.
yeah, it's getting there, and that's not mentioning the U.S. as well.
Yeah, so. We're talking about end times, Bible prophecy. Yeah. Let me ask you, when did you start studying this? How many years do you think you've studied and kind of got into this? You know, maybe I shouldn't ask this question if it's revealing.
Well, it has been something that has been our interest. I'm going to say, my wife and I, she, in a sense, led me. I was always interested in it, but I always felt it was a bridge too far, you know. Yeah. For me. My wife and I got into it our whole marriage now, 34 years. And I guess it's studying, reading, listening, getting into it over that period of time. It's in a sense, some people have a hobby fixing cars, making little wooden things or building puzzles. Our hobby is eschatology.
I mean, that's a good hobby, though.
That's a good idea.
So I like what you said a minute ago, because you said it's like was a bridge too far for you, because that's how I feel like I felt. You know, it's kind of, I was talking to you before the stream. It was something I knew about. Jesus was coming. I believed in. But I feel like I was always intimidated to study into it, because I didn't know if it was going to be something I'd be able to wrap my head around.
Well, you know what I ended up doing? For a while there, was I just developed a theory, which I found out was a popular theory. I just said, well, you know what? I just believe in the pan theory. I said, well, it'll pan out. God's obviously in control. I don't need to understand it. And so when people used to ask me, well, what do you believe? I'd say, what theory? You know, because there's so many different views. You know, especially
pre-trib, mid-trib, you know, the different tribulations. So you're pan-trib. It'll just pan out.
I was for a long time, but to be honest, my wife and I hashed that through. And in a sense, I think she should be on this broadcast, because she's really the one. But you know, landed on something, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but landed on the fact that got hold of these books of the early church fathers, like the disciple of John. And, you know, in the book there, he writes, and he's got a strange name, so I won't try to mention it, but he says he's writing the earliest commentary on the book of Revelation that there is. And he says, I wonder what this means. Let me go and ask John. And so what settled it for me, when I started reading the early church fathers on the commentary of the end times, they all believed in the pre-trib rapture.
Wow.
And so I then said, well, you know what? That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Because when I studied it, I would say, okay, maybe 10% leans towards the church going through the tribulation. Then I said, well, I'm 30% for mid, maybe around the sixth seal. but I'm mostly pre. But I wasn't convinced until I read that and read what they said there, and it settled it for me. And I'm really, you know, and I know that, and I think we should say this though, Zach. We consider people with different views our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know, there's all these different, like I've just got a list here, the historical view, the preterist view, the idealist view, the futurist view. And I mean, there's so many different views, and those are just a few mentioned.
Yeah.
And so we just want to say ahead of time, you know, if you're watching and you think different, that's okay. This is just our studies, our personal convictions, and just, I think right up front, we should say, look, we are pre-trib rapture people.
Yeah.
But we don't condemn anyone else, because I think what we found when it comes to the study of end times or you know, the study of eschatology or the last days, it really is a journey.
Yeah.
And we have to just seek it out, be good students of the word. You know?
So I do have this question for you. I was thinking earlier today. When it comes to, you know, studying the book of Revelation, especially if that's something you've never done. You know, I went 15 years before I kind of sunk my teeth into it as a believer. But let me ask you, what is something that you think every believer should know about understanding the book of Revelation or even other end time Bible prophecy? Like, what's something you think every believer should know before they go for it?
I think you just got to know that what it's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, if you start, in other words, the theme, because you know, when I study the Bible, something somebody taught me once, he said, the Bible has a theme, and it runs from Genesis through Revelation.
Yeah.
And so you got to look at the book, the book of Revelation and end time stuff. What is God after in this? And if you get to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says, yeah, the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I heard somebody just this week say something about that just struck me. He said, it's about the revealing of Christ. And what he meant by that, it's about the fact that he's coming again.
Yes.
It's about the second coming.
That's right.
So if you look at it like that, in that view, you realize, man, this is about Jesus coming on the scene and wrapping things up.
Yeah.
And that it ends, of course, with his second coming, his kingdom, the millennial reign, the judgment seat, the rewards. It's about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you look at it, you got to, I think, start approaching it in that light, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I. You know, it says in Revelation 1, you know, that this is, you know, basically tells us it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. I always tell people it's not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's not the revelation of the mark of the beast. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus.
That's right.
Exactly what you just said.
That's right. And of course, I mean, we look from Genesis, where there was the fall in the garden. The first thing God says right out of the gate, he talks about the seed of the woman,
yeah,
speaking of Jesus. Then he gets into Abraham, which the seed of Abraham, speaking of Christ. Then he prophesies through the Davidic covenant that there'll be, your seed will be seated upon the throne forever, all pointing to Jesus. You know, close to 300 to 400 prophecies through the Old Testament, 4,000 years pointed towards Jesus. He comes, and it follows the theme all the way through to the second coming when he comes riding that horse.
Yes. Amen.
Well, we could stop right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already getting really excited about this. So, well, okay, one other thing I want to ask you before we just get right into kind of like a timeline here, because okay. I feel like the goal tonight is to help people understand key points about the events that are going to take place, you know, kind of the main things. But let me ask you this final thing. There are people who, like I said earlier, well, I believe Jesus is coming. That's all I want to know. That's all they think they need to know. But why would you say it is important that people understand what the Bible does say about the end days?
Because it forms our worldview.
Yeah.
Because
you
think about it, you can go into all the philosophies of the world. You get socialism, communism, liberalism. You get conservatism, and we say, well, what are all those things? Now that's political, social, but you can also see it in many subgroups or subcultures. Mm-hmm. And all that. It's your worldview. Your culture from where you're born can formulate your worldview.
Yes.
And the end time prophecy it formulates our worldview. In other words, we don't live today, die tomorrow, and then it's done and it's finished.
Yeah.
We look at this world. What answer are you going to have if you look at the chaos that's in the world?
Yeah.
What are you going to say? So, you know, the Bible prophecy helps. It is the worldview that we must have, you know, especially as Christians and as the church, because when you get into Bible prophecy, it's very evident. You're talking about the coming king that comes with his kingdom.
Yeah.
It's our worldview. That would be my answer to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And the other thing for me, when I began to really study it, is it gave me that sense of urgency. And, you know, when the book of Revelation became real to me, it put the whole thing in me. Yeah, Jesus is coming soon. There is a job to be done. I was telling you earlier, it kind of changed my whole ministry and the way that I even operate, because it also prepares you for eternity. Because, like you mentioned a moment ago, you know, there's going to be rewards that are going to be given when we stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ. There's crowns. We're going to give an account.
Yeah.
And, it's to me, it became a call to live a holy life and to live ready. And Well, so let's go through the timeline here of some of these major events. Tell people this. When we say the church age, what is that exactly? What is the church age? When did it start? When is it over?
You want me to get into that?
Definition. What is that?
Well, obviously, I mean, you know, some people believe the church began when Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I personally believe the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit filled them, empowered them, and then we see Peter getting up and preaching. And actually, that prophecy that he prophesied, where he says, "In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters will prophesy," and so on. And then he says, "The sun and the moon, you know, will be go dark, and the moon will turn red." That is actually a prophetic declaration of the return of Jesus. So he's literally right there prophesying the outpouring, birthing of the church, and then declaring Jesus is coming. Because if you look at the events that happened around that period of time, around his second coming, that's what it's talking about. Some people believe that, and I kind of do as well. But the church age, you know, I believe started then. And I mean, we see in 30, I'll just give a little timeline here.
Yeah.
There's a 32 AD when Jesus, or 32, 33 AD, where Jesus died on the cross, rose again, ascended, told his disciples, go wait in Jerusalem. And then there's the 70 AD thing that Jesus prophesied out of Matthew 24, that the temple would be destroyed.
Yeah.
And so the temple is destroyed. And these are just key things that happened during the church age, between the time of the birth of the church and to the time of the tribulation. And then we see in 1948, the fig tree prophecy, where Israel becomes a nation.
Yeah.
And Jews start to return back to Israel, which is obviously the dry bones prophecy out of Ezekiel 37. And then in 1967, the Temple Mount is taken back by Israel at that time. And so we see the church is around for 2,000 years, more or less, which makes sense because 4,000 years from Genesis to Jesus, 2,000 years, and then there's the 7th year, 1,000-year millennial reign. So, I mean, that's the basic concept without getting into all the complications of it because we will all get confused. But anyway, right. But then the thing that we believe happens that ends the church age is what we call the rapture. But if you get into the rapture, you actually find that it uses these words: the dead in Christ will rise first; those that remain will be caught up in air and be changed. And it's that portion of scripture that says, "Oh death, where is your sting?" So the rapture, even though it's the catching away and all that kind of stuff, has a lot to do with the final victory over death. Hmm. All right. Now, once the rapture takes place and the church is taken away, the church age, the age of, or the time of grace, comes to an end. And here's the timeline if you want to get into it without getting into all the verses and that, because that's what we're doing, just an overview today.
Yeah.
We get the rapture, then what we call the Gog-Magog War. That is a war that will shake the world so bad, but it sets the stage for the Antichrist to come onto the scene, and he brokers a peace treaty for a seven-year peace treaty, and that kicks off the tribulation. But now we've already gone into what chapter are we in now? Into the sixth chapter of Revelation.
But you
see, chapter 2 through 3 is the seven churches, which there's different views on that. There's the historical view. I just believe they represent, yes, the historical view of the church age, but also you can find each one of those types of churches represented in every generation. That's just what I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said a lot. I kind of jumped ahead. But so the church age comes to an end from Pentecost to when the rapture.
So the church age started at Pentecost, so Acts chapter 2, and that church age is going to come to an end at the rapture, or what we would call the catching away of the church. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then you mentioned something around that. You mentioned the Gog and the Magog War. Let me ask you, is that before the rapture, or is that going to happen after, or do we know?
It marks the beginning of it, because I believe, and a lot of people believe, some might think different, but it marks the beginning of the tribulation period. And it actually sets the stage for the Antichrist to come onto the scene and begin doing his thing.
So what is Gog and Magog War?
Well, it's all those nations coming together,
and
basically coming against Israel. It's a huge war. It involves, I can't remember all the nations, but I know, I'm pretty sure it's Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Russia, Turkey. I mean, it's a big war. It's so great that it shakes the world, but it's like it sets the stage for that treaty of peace that the Antichrist brings.
Now, will the Antichrist be leading that war, or is that going to be a whole different?
I don't know. Very good question. I don't know. I would presume he's not.
Yeah,
but who knows? You know, who knows? It doesn't really.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But that is the war. So you get the rapture, the Gog Magog war, and then you get the peace treaty for 7 years.
Yeah. Well, so that war of Gog and Magog, that's several different nations. I know some big players would be Russia, Iran, Turkey, some former Soviet nations.
Yeah.
And that war is where they're all going to come down on Israel. And this is around the time of the rapture, possibly like directly after the rapture.
Well, some people believe that it's around that time or
maybe
right
before.
After the rapture. But I mean, something like that you don't just wake up today and it's happened. It builds. That's why prophecy people look at what's happening today in the world and they go, this could be it. This could be it. Because all the players and all the scenario looks like it's moving towards that.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the whole thing about this. It doesn't just happen. It takes time to move into it.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Okay.
But that's kind of the order, you know.
And
we're open to correction. But that's kind of the order we understand. The rapture, the Gog-Magog war, and out of that comes this peace treaty that sets the stage for the Antichrist to come on the scene.
To me, that would make the most sense, too, after the rapture, whether it is or not, because we understand the church and believers are going to have to even be removed before the Antichrist can really move in the level of authority that he's going to have when he does take the stage.
That scripture in Thessalonians that says the restrainer must be removed before he can be revealed.
Yeah.
And I mean, people believe in different things, but I think the church, personally, the church, I think, is the restrainer. Because it's, and the reason why I think that is because it brings the age of the dispensation of grace to an end.
Yeah.
And so the restrainer must go for him to be able to reveal himself.
Yeah. So, okay, let me ask you then about the rapture. So the church age comes to an end at the rapture. There's going to be the Gog and Magog war. But let's back up. Let's talk a bit about the rapture. What is the rapture?
Well, that's what I was saying to you. It is actually the final victory over death. You know that scripture that says, "Oh death, where is your sting?"
Yes.
In other words, Jesus. The final victory. We don't fear death.
Yeah.
We change in a twinkling of an eye. We receive our glorified bodies. We with him. That's really the one of the things that sometimes we just gloss over with the rapture, and we say, oh, we're just going. But it's literally the final victory over death. The death will never hold us down again.
Mm.
I mean, that's the rapture.
So the Bible says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. So graves, you know, are going to give up their dead. And then the Bible says those who remain, so that are living, will be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Right.
So
So
there's a whole generation of believers that are never going to pass through death's door, so to speak. You know, they're just going to be changed. Is that?
I'm hoping I want to be one of them.
Yeah, I call it Rapture Airlines. You know, just take that flight out. So, so we're gonna be caught up into the clouds. What will that look like? You know, when I was growing up, we grew up with the left. You know, in the '90s with the Left Behind movies, and it was just people disappeared. And they had a neatly, you know, folded pile of clothes. But to me, it seems like the rapture is going to be an ascension, like how Jesus went up into the clouds, like how Enoch was no more. You had Elijah taken up in a whirlwind. What do you think about that? Would it be an ascension?
You know, because we make a big deal of, okay, we're going to fly into the sky. But think about it. We'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. So it's actually more of a change of, I don't know if it's the right word, but it's a change of state. We go from being in these
flesh and blood
to suddenly
glorified bodies.
That's really what it is. And like, boom, like that, we are with him in the air. It's going to happen so quick. It's not going to be like, oh, we met him.
Yeah, like we're floating into.
No, it'll be like, boom, and we're there. And so it's a major change. It's interesting. It's really good. One guy likened it to the same as like think of a lightning strike.
Wow.
Bam. That quick, it's there, you know.
Yeah.
I like to think of it like that because because it's not a natural, it's not a normal event. I mean, we're not boarding a plane and finding our seat.
What do you think the world is going to say when all these Christians are gone? What do you think they're going to? Because they have to make a narrative for it, you know. I think it's so interesting with Congress and even other nations talking about UFOs all of a sudden, and that's all in the media. I mean, I wonder what the world is going to say.
I think they're building the narrative already, because the interesting thing is, I think they know. You know, in the general sense, they know. Because the people that, I just want to say it straight up, people that serve the devil, they know. I mean, you can go to, what's that European building in Europe, where it's built in the same shape as like the Tower of Babel. And when you walk in, it has a picture of the Tower of Babel and whatever, and underneath it says, "We will the next time we will succeed."
Wow.
So you tell me that they don't know. They absolutely know. I mean, every now and then something happens on the news. They might not have the details down. They might believe what they want to believe, but they know. And I think, I mean, there is a narrative, and it's part of the deception that's in the world. The spirit of Antichrist that Paul said is with us and has always been with us in a sense. I mean, it's building that deception into the world.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, like some of the deception is that mankind was seeded by aliens.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And then another one that's coming out is saying, well, we're actually all just in, it's like the Matrix.
Simulation.
We're in a simulation. And people are really starting to believe that.
Yeah, well, you know, I was listening to these two scientists, they're both atheists, and they were talking about the simulation theory. And they said, if the rapture happens, they brought it up, if the rapture happens, that would be proof we are living in a simulation that is ran by Catholics or Christians. That's what they said. So then, it's like...
And then they get into this alien philosophy where they look at the Bible and they say, well, you see, Adam and Eve were simply just... That was the point where they were spawned.
Yeah.
And then you see the alien ships or the creators visiting them. Like they get into... The wheel within the wheel, and as I say, that's a ship, that's an alien ship, and where the three angels met with Abraham, they say, you see, those are the aliens visiting, and they say, we see aliens and we see this UFO thing throughout the Bible. Why don't you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not strong in your faith, you're gonna get shook by that. Because you're going to say, well, wait a minute, that thing does look like a ship in Ezekiel.
and I have seen people that kind of look like aliens. I'll just leave that there.
And, you know, they'll even say Elijah, when he went up in a chariot of fire, they say, you see, he just went up in his spaceship, you know, and that sort of thing. But so there's a lot of deception and stuff happening out there.
Yeah, and there's this whole vein of Satanists and even, you know, paganism and that believe openly that the day will come when the earth will remove those who hold back progress.
Yeah,
that's a big belief. So essentially, what you're saying is the Antichrist spirit, obviously operating through people today, is setting up a narrative that when the rapture happens, they're going to have something that they tell the masses. It's not going to be on the news. Oh, the rapture happened, you know.
Yeah, but I yeah, exactly right. But I do think there's going to be people left behind that know enough, and it's going to shake them to the core.
Hey, Pastor Zach here. You were just listening to a replay of a live stream that just happened about 3 days ago with me and Vincent Skinner. If you would like to listen to the whole thing where we go through the entire timeline of the book of Revelation, then you can go to youtube.com/TheRiverKeshocton or facebook.com/TheRiverKeshocton, and you can watch the whole thing for free on there.
We would love for you to join us at the River Church this morning at 10 a.m. For additional information about our church, you can go on our website at www.therivercoshocton.com. You can also follow us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TheRiverCoshocton.